I want to say good morning to every one of you, my brothers and my sisters. I want to say happy Sabbath. And, you know, today is the first Sabbath of 2021. 2020 is over. I believe that many people are happy for 2020 to be chronicled right now, chronicled in history. But we don't care of 2021, because God does not live in time. And we are God's children. God will take care of us no matter what. So I want to wish you anyway a happy new year. I want to wish that God would bless us all of all kind of blessings, whether it be you in the church or my friends online. We need blessings for our time. We need peace in our heart. Even when things are shaping a certain way that we cannot even comprehend, God is in control. We need not to fear anything, whether about things that happens in the political arena, or natural disasters. We need not to have any kind of fear, because as I told you, God is controlling everything, whether it be here in this church, online, or anywhere else in the world. Today we have a first message for the first Sabbath of 2021. It will not be about first. But before I do that, let me read a disclosure. The goal of this message is not to denounce, attack, or pointing our friends out online and elsewhere. However, I noticed several trends that must be highlighted or underlined, and then urge wisdom and precaution before it goes too far. These trends are as soon as they are noticed in one point of the world are already all across the globe. That is the nature of spiritual and moral viruses. I would say that it is the nature of human heart. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1, verse 16. Two verses down, he declares, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's verse 18. So I hope everyone watching or listening will understand where I will be coming from. I cannot prevent myself from preaching this message and hold the truth in unrighteousness, for the wrath of God will be upon me because of that. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, if it were because of my feeling I would stop this message right there. I would not preach it. But there is urgency, and you ask me to deliver it to the church and to our friends online. Please use my lips as it pleases you and bless our church members and friends. Forgive our sins. Bestow upon your children your Holy Spirit. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some church members are incapable of critical thinking or of a sound capacity of reasoning because of their likeness, love, and linking of or with a certain political party. Their brain is numbed due to their fanatical state. Even when prophecies are unfolding or fulfilling before their own eyes, they attribute the information that pleases God to provide them with to help them getting ready for an overwhelming surprise. They, on the contrary, attribute this information to conspiracy theories. One of their problems is that they expected the events to happen a certain way, their way. Sister White advises there is danger, decided danger, for all who shall link themselves up with the political parties of the world. There is fraud on both sides. God has not laid upon any of our people the burden of linking up with either party. We are under Christ's banner, and everyone who names the name of Christ is to depart from all iniquity. General Conference Daily Bulletin, page 59. She continues, sorrow and trial will come. Sorrow and what? Trial will come. The faith of everyone is being tested. But our Lord is truth. His love and his scepter stretched over the universe. And she says, surprises await everyone. What does she say? Surprises await everyone. What is a surprise? Things that you did not expect to happen to you or to anybody will happen. Surprises await everyone. She doesn't say the majority or certain people. Everyone will be surprised. We know not what political crisis will come next. She continues. But in regard to the political agitators, the word of the Lord to us is, go not ye after them. True wisdom will not lead us to follow the example of the foolish rich man of the parable. True wisdom is revealed in seeking first the kingdom of God and what? His righteousness. General Conference Daily Bulletin, February 17, 1897, page 59 End quote. In the first sentence, she said, sorrow and trial will come, my brothers. Those who are following online, my friends, sorrow and trial will come. But she does not say which sorrow and which trial. She does not specify. The last test that we know of that she is specific about is the mark of the beast. Therefore, church members should not expect to face just the trial concerning Sunday law. Others will come before it, which could very well be part of the sorrow and trial she's talking about. Who knows if COVID-19, along with its vaccine, is not part of the sorrow and trial she's talking about, even when it is not specifically mentioned in the Bible and in the spirit of prophecy. Who knows if they are not part of the surprises awaiting everyone? As you can see, Sister White links sorrow and trials with political crisis. It seems to me that we are in the same conditions she has portrayed here. My Bible teaches me what was the reactions of the Jewish leaders when Jesus came the first time. They rejected him because he did not come the way that they preached he would come. While prophecies predicted he would come a certain way with signs to recognize him. From him being born in a manger, in a poor family, not displaying himself in the public places, wearing long, pricey, and royal robes, not endorsing their crooked way to preach or teach, not coming to give them a long-awaited, cherished dream of domination of the world, they refused to accept him as the true Messiah, no matter how powerful were his words and miracles. And the exact accomplishment of the prophecies concerning him. But let me tell you, brethren, that God does not always give specifics or detail on events. By example, Jesus predicted there will be false prophets coming to seduce before his return. But never has he said how they will come, what specific miracles they will accomplish to succeed in their endeavor. Likewise, the Bible in Revelation predicts the last events before the second coming of Jesus. Jesus himself in Matthew 24 listed several forewarning events that should take place to help his followers getting ready. He did not produce specifics or details on how they would come. He just told his disciples what will happen, what to expect. Almost at the end of his teaching, the master teaches them, watch therefore. What does he say? Watch. Watch, that means do news. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 24, verse 42. Then he warns, but know this, that if the good men of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would have suffered his house to be broken up. He would not have suffered his house to be broken up. When you don't know when something will happen, what do? You need to be ready, always ready. Verse 45, Matthew 24, Jesus said, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord had made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his good." So you can see the good man is doing two things. He watches and he is feeding the house of food in due season. And by doing so, the master will establish him over all the house, all his wealth, by doing so. Meat in due season. By the way, here Jesus is not talking about his second coming. He's talking about the period of judgment culminating to the end of probationary time. As this period is yet a period of grace for God's children who are still in the world and also in the foreign churches, such as Catholic and Protestant churches, Revelation 18, verses 1 to 4, he wants to see those who are already sealed to move forward in the dissemination of the gospel. If one does not do it, he or she is someone that their master will find not feeding the flock meat in due season, and will not be classified among the just, but among the wicked servants. At the second coming, the doors will already close, and the message fulfill its mission. So, Jesus is not talking about his second coming. He is talking about the close of probation. He is talking about the sealing time. It is not now and onward to talk about the signs of the coming of the Lord, say certain person. Could we put it aside and say that the virus and its vaccines are not part of the signs, when the master himself teaches that pestilences will be one of them? If we accept that the virus is part of them, why not its vaccines? Don't we know that one of the vaccines variants spread 70% faster than the original one itself? This variant has been first discovered in UK, and because of the rapidity with which one can get contaminated, many European countries who have recorded some patients with it closed their borders with UK. For example, a case of it has been found in Colorado Wednesday. Another was found in California Thursday. And another one yesterday was found in Florida. According to health officials, the patient in Colorado has not been traveling, neither being in contact with someone coming from Europe. What's wrong here? Should we not talk about these things? In Revelation, John has not given no clear information on how the mark of the beast will be enforced. Sister White informs about the point of its origin, but she does not give all the detail that we need to that end. She said that when the time comes, we will understand better. John talks about the actions of the beast, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their head, right hand, or in their forehead, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. We will not be talking about that. But this text is found in Revelation 13, verses 16 and 17. He informs also that the second beast will talk like a dragon, which is America, you know it, when Sunday law is enforced. Meaning that the law that this nation, America, will vote in Congress will be inspired by the devil through his agencies, Catholic, Protestants, and others. Verse 17 tells us something what will happen both in Sunday law and the restriction put upon God's or upon the people due to COVID-19 virus. All business places refuse to sell you if you do not have a mask, thus preparing us for Sunday law. People, watch out. I mean, some people are tired of both topics. They do not want to hear about them, meaning pause or full stop. But that is meat for our time. Meat given in due season. I think Satan is doing his best to prevent God's people from informing each other of the dangers that are ahead of us. But with us, by God's grace, we will continue. It is understandable that many can be tired if they constantly hear about it. But here is the deal. Let's go to Genesis, Exodus chapter 16, verse 35. The Israelites were tired eating the same meal every day for how many years? Wow! The Israelites were tired of eating the same meal for how many years? 40 years, the same meal. Same white, little thing on the floor, on the ground, called manna. 40 years. Who would not be tired with that? I would. However, look at what the behavior of God will be toward those murmurers. Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 6. Numbers 11, verses 4 to 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again. Why are they crying? Why are they weeping? Why? And said, who shall give us flesh to eat? The manna is, we cannot take it anymore. Give me some flesh. Give me some flesh to eat. 40 years? It was not even 40 years yet. Probably in the second year or third year, we've been eating rice. We've been eating pink cake all the time. Mama, come on. Give me a break. We cannot handle it anymore. Remember the fish They say, which we did eat in Egypt freely. Meat. What next? Fish. And then, which we did eat where? In the country of bondage. They forget they were what? Slave. And they are thinking now about the starving. Food. Cucumbers. Who would again say that? Who would say cucumbers is not a good thing? After all, God has created cucumbers. Everyone likes cucumbers. Why not us? Why can't we find cucumbers to eat? Why is it just the white thing? Melons. We need melons. That means fruit. And the leeks. And the onions. And the garlic. We like garlic, eh? Don't we? We like garlic. Onions. Well, God says, no, this is this time, 40 years. 40 years, it's going to be manna. 40 years. But now our soul is dried away. Have you got any child in your house saying, your storage is full of food? There's nothing to eat in that house. My daughters, even my wife says that also. There's nothing to eat in that. Why? There is no bread. We have plenty of food in the house. That's the same thing. Who would not be tired, I'm telling you. Everyone would be tired. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all. This is right here in the Bible. Beside this manna, they despise the manna. Before our eyes, Sister White explains that in the manna was found every nutrient and vitamin their body needed. And more, they could make different dishes with it, mixing it with other foods available to them. But they despise the manna, food coming from heaven through the angels to feed them. They would not accept it. Because in the desert, remember that, it was hot during the day and cold during the night. That food called manna was the appropriate food to protect their body against the heat of the day and the cold of the night. Please, brothers, do not be tired of these types of messages, for they are the message for our time. If we are in danger of sleeping. I'm sorry, we cannot sleep now. If we do, we may be like the foolish virgins. The job of the watchman, which I am, is to sound the trumpet, not to be discouraged when others are tired of the sounds. Listen to that. The property of the sound is to wake us up from our sleep. That's why I hate the alarm clocks. When you are comfortably sleeping, that's when you hear the sound. And you've got to wake up. Sometimes it provokes headaches. I hate that. But that may be the only way to save my job. That may be the only way to save the city. That may be the only way to have your eternal life. Alarm clock. I truly and honestly understand people who cannot take it anymore. But if the watchman does not do his job, what do you think the master will do? Will tell him if the city is taken unawares. What do you think the inhabitants of the city will reproach him of? Even in this perilous time, not so many are warning church members and the world. All kinds of messages are preached on our pulpits. They allow all types of sins enter the church, but they would not address the issues of the time. People, wake up. My friends are online, wake up. There is a plethora of information against COVID-19 vaccines all across the globe. But many decide that this information are not worth their serious analysis. They label this information conspiracy theories, political oriented or biased, etc. Seriously? But what if these informations were intended by God to be given as a warning to us? I'm not saying that all out there against it is true, but why should one endanger his or her life by something that has been scientifically proved to be dangerous? What if accepting the vaccine would bring detrimental side effects on you and your offspring for generations? Why do you think so many prominent people have raised serious concerns about it? What if the vaccine was intended to prepare the earth for the mark of the beast? So many questions. What do thousands of officials such as cardinals, doctors, scientists say against it? Why are many of them fired and others put in psychiatric hospitals for denouncing it? Why does Pope Francis, along with his allies, link the virus to climate change? None will be able to travel internationally without a COVID-19 passport, according to many airline companies. What about the great reset that will take place in 2020, this year? Starting this January 25th and ushering in a global government. Why, according to Great Reset Plan, the Jubilee of the Earth, the season of creation, etc., will you use your property and everyone will live in a world where everything will be free for them? Why those things? Why is the Pope endorsing a global government of which he supposedly will be and is already the moral leader? Why did he meet with the merchant of this world 2 weeks ago, such as the CEOs of Bank of America, Chase Bank, Johnson & Johnson Pharmaceutical Company, and many more 500 Fortune companies, as if he is taken over the world, usurping the privileges of probably either President Trump or the President-elect Joe Biden? He has summoned every of these people that have said before him so that he can talk to them and tell them each year, come before me to report what has been done. Why? Why does he say that everything is connected when addressing the issues of the virus? Why does he designate 2021 year of family, keeping Sunday as day of rest? He says it. Did not Sister White predict that the first phase of Sunday law will be just about family, and that they will urge that it is not religious and not Biden, yet the next phase will be Biden preventing people to buy and sell? I mean, by refusing the news coming from our former officials, doctors, nurses, we may very well get off guard. The Bible says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. That means many people, the majority of even church members, will be surprised. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep when? In the night. But when you sleep at night, this night is not particularly literal. It is a symbolic night. When things are getting off limit, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1, 5 to 8. Many of us will leave the ranks for easy way. Among them are pastors, as the servant of the Lord predicted it. As I'm talking, pastors across the board among us as well have been recruited by the state government to encourage church members to take the vaccine that scientists, microbiologists, immunologists, politicians, doctors, cardinals have been warning us against. Some of them argue that it is linked to a one world government, but church members would not listen. As I'm talking to you, China, France, and the U.S. are creating their own human soldiers out of the existent human beings. They inject in their bodies some nanoparticles that would give them resistance to fight for weeks without hunger, fatigue, and still their eyes would see far at night without technology aid. These new creatures are called super soldiers that could also have altered DNA to give them enhanced speed and strength as well. You can go to Google and put FROELICH 2020 in NewYorkPost.com. You will find it. Out of us, out of the existing soldiers, China, France, and the U.S. are creating new human being soldiers, and they affect their DNA so that they cannot be tired easily. They do not need food in a long period of time. They can run a long way. They can do anything that robot can do. This is the same DNA concerns that many have with COVID-19 vaccine. The great of the earth among such are the Pope, the pharmaceutical companies, and others like Bill Gates want to inoculate in our bodies nanoparticles that would change the DNA with which we are created. That is a big takeover. That is a huge takeover of the creation of God. Attempting to do the exact same thing that Satan has tried to do in heaven. Jesus said, many things will happen on the earth in diverse places, famines, pestilences, fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands upon you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay or nor resist. And it shall be betrayed both by parents, brethren, kinsfolk, and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. I'm going to resume. I'm going to summarize. Let me put it that way. We will read Matthew chapter, Luke. Actually, my daughter read a different text earlier. She did not read what I asked her to read. Let us read Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. If you have it, somebody please read it for me. If you cannot, let me read it. Thank you. I want to say sorry to our online friends who may not have heard the reading. But if you have your Bible, you can go to it. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24. Many church members are in danger of having too much to do for a short time before Sunday law passes in Congress, and also for the second coming of Jesus. In Luke, the master warns, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. This is the second coming of Christ. And bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidding, come, for all things are now ready. Because remember that in John 14 verses 1 to 4, Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. And whenever I'm done preparing this place for you, I will come back to take you up with me so that wherever I live, there you may be also. So that as I'm talking to you, I'm pretty sure that the place is already ready for us. And then he says, for all things are now ready. Verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. This text is talking about church members who've been in the church for a long time, who know the gospel, but now Satan puts in their mind so many projects. I'm not saying all projects is bad. I'm not saying that. Projects are good. And whenever God allows us to accomplish them, to fulfill them, to reach them, do it. But it says, all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see that commerce, trade. That's exactly what happens. I pray thee, have me excused. Would you excuse someone like that for a piece of ground, a piece of land? You cannot go to heaven? You cannot accept the message? Or you leave the church? Okay, the first said unto him, I brought a piece of ground and... Another, verse 19. And another said, I bought what? I bought 5 yokes of oxen. That means he needs to work the ground to produce crops. This is still trade. And I go prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. The last one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. I'm telling you, I married my wife in 1995. On Tuesday, June 20th, 1995. We did not miss one church meeting because of the marriage. We went to church on time. Except for the first day. We were in a wash going to church. I'm telling you, people, church members, young people who get married, forget about heaven. I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. But do we need to be careful? All right. So, those 3 excuses are the main reasons why many in our ranks will not make it to heaven. They have much going on, and they do not want to let go. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Alas, many church members, pastors included, will not make it to heaven because they refuse warnings, they refuse the message, they refuse the truth. They prefer money, worldly pleasures. Too much going on in their head. So my brothers and my sisters, this is what I read this week. And after that, I have just one paragraph, and then I will be sitting. Fellow pilgrim, says Sister White, we are still amid the shadows and turmoil of earthly activities. But soon our Savior is to appear to bring deliverance and rest. Amen. Let us by faith behold the blessed hereafter as pictured by the hand of God. He who died for the sins of the world is opening wide the gates of paradise to all who believe on him. Soon, this is the word, the key word, soon the battle will have been fought. Amen. The victory won. Soon we shall see him in whom our hopes of eternal life are centered. And in his presence, the trials and sufferings of this life will seem as nothingness. The former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come a little while, and will not tarry. Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded. World without end. Look up. Look up. And let your faith continually increase. Let this faith guide you along the narrow path that leads through the gates of the city into the great beyond. The wide, unbounded future of glory that is for the redeemed. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Brothers and sisters, this is the message for a time, given in due season. Let us prepare our lives for what will happen on earth. Let us give our hearts to Jesus Christ. And I promise you, if we give honestly and earnestly our heart to Jesus Christ, we will see him face to face. We will live with him forever. We will inherit the kingdom with him and live in the presence of God, of all the saved of all the times. God bless you, and God bless the Church of Elmira and those online. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we spent with you, learning from you the lessons of the life, spiritual life, that can prepare us for the second coming of your Son, our Master and Savior. We want to see him. We want to live with him. We want to finish with those tribulations, hardships, all kind of sufferings, death, all kind of miseries. That's why Jesus has died for us. He wanted to take up everyone who wants to serve him. We want to serve you. We want to glorify you in heaven. So, O Lord, accept us. We have heard your voice. Give us to follow it promptly. As we're going to go to our individual home, please be with us on the road. And bless those who didn't come for a good reason. And those who refuse to come to church for any reason, give them the spirit of wisdom. And those who are sick, heal them. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen.